We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back at quarter number four of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle. Coming back, still talking Penn State, Maryland, from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We heard from James Franklin in the earlier segment. His thoughts coming out of that Maryland game. We have more from James Franklin, but for starters, I mentioned it at the last of minute or two of the previous quarter. Penn State, Iowa on the road. Next Saturday, the 12th, is a 6:30 Central Time kick. We got in between me saying something and starting up this segment. We did get that confirmation, so we will see a night game. Pretty energetic scene anyway. Penn State is no stranger to that, so that'll be a fun time out in Iowa. One of the underrated, I think, venues across the country. Iowa at night.
It is a tough place to play. I mean, it is, the fans are right on top of you. I mean, I know it looks like that on TV, but when you're down there on the field, it's even more stunning just how close they are to you. You can't hear anything. It's hard to communicate. That is going to be a heck of a matchup for Penn State. You know, we were talking about how this Purdue game just seemed to get a lot easier because of Rondale Moore and Elijah Sindelar, the quarterback and receiver for the Boilermakers, not playing in that game. Well, this primetime start makes that Iowa game a whole heck of a lot harder. So we'll see. It should be fascinating to watch. One more thing. I know it's not on the docket for this segment, but Chris Ash got a raw deal, man. I mean, I don't think he was the guy to fix that program. That seemed pretty clear.
Yeah.
But if he didn't... What changed between the start of the season and now to make that decision? I mean, talk about a rudderless athletic department that just wasted the 2019 season for no real good reason.
Yeah, now
it's not like anything happened that you know brought this problem to the forefront. It's been a problem since he's been there.
Yeah, you're in no man's land now, right? So if you make this decision, you're decisive. You do it at the end of last season, then you're in the market for whatever coach you can get there. Now you're so early in the 2019 season, things are just going to get a whole lot worse before they have any shot of getting better. And oh, by the way, they just don't have a lot of players there. And part of that is Chris Ash's fault. If they he had enough time to get players in there, but I agree with you that why now is the question. And the answer to that is because it's Rutgers.
Right.
That's why.
Perfectly put.
So as we're talking about Penn State, Iowa, we might as well get to this quote from James Franklin, just talking about success on the road. They came out on fire against Maryland. We'll, in the next couple of weeks, we'll see if they can do the same thing against a better team.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, you know, young team and the maturation process is always challenging. It's one thing to do it at home, and it's a different thing to do it on the road. But I actually think, again, I don't want to beat this kind of with a dead, you know, I don't want to beat this dead horse, but I really felt like the way we practice with the noise, that our guys were so comfortable that I actually think the energy in the stadium, they fed off of. You know, they fed off of. I think it's exciting, you know, for them. And that's kind of how we approached it. We approached it all week long. So, but yeah, I think your point is a great one. It's one thing with a young team to play well at home. It's another thing to do it on the road. This team was ranked a few weeks ago. A lot of buzz, you know, and I do think this is a good environment. You know, I do think it's a good environment, especially early on.
So they were successful on the road, and you know, it's interesting the way that they prepared with the noise. I think it's really insightful. It puts me in the player's shoes a little bit whenever he talks about being so prepared for the noise and that not being a new or foreign thing, that it ends up being, instead of a liability, it's an asset, because they're energized and they're playing up based on the energy of the crowd and their, you know, their communication. It can take longer, as I believe you mentioned as well. That kind of stuff. There are complications of the noise, but they've been, you know, and James said this earlier this season, that they don't only wait until these rowdy environments come to practice with noise. They're practicing with noise all year, so it's second nature, and we saw that. It's a particularly interesting theme as we do discuss going on the road next weekend to Iowa in front of a noisy crowd that's going to be right in Penn State's ear. It's encouraging to know that they handled it and turned it into a positive for themselves.
Yeah, the fact that both quarterbacks lost their voice from yelling so much tells you all you need to know about how loud they make it in practice.
They became hoarse by beating a dead horse.
Right.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. Yes, thank you. So, I mean, I think it was smart for Penn State to prepare that way. They do make, and it's loud. I mean, it when you go to these practices, sometimes you leave not being able to hear.
And I think deep down, James Franklin likes that idea.
Oh, yeah.
He likes just subtly sticking it to you guys.
Yes, that's part of it, sure. But, yeah, it's loud, and it's probably louder in practice than they can make it for game day, so that helps, too.
Yeah, if you're getting into a rowdy road environment and it's a notch down from where you're practicing, then I think you're probably on the right path. In this game, you know, when you are on the road, you do have a crowd that's waiting for something positive to happen. They got a whole lot of negative, and you saw how flimsy the interest was in this game when the negative stuff started happening and the crowd was funneling out of there real early, knowing exactly what the deal was. But the early interceptions in this game, the first by Jan Johnson, the second by Tariq Kester Fields, the Jan Johnson one on the first drive, just eliminated any possibility of Maryland getting out of the gate strong. And then they do put together really their only meaningful drive of the game, and it ends with a Tariq Kester Fields interception that was a lot more fault on Josh Jackson than it was, you know, a terrific play by Tariq Kester Fields. But these are our key plays in this game early that get momentum going in the right direction, and we all know how big a role momentum can play. So here's what James Franklin had to say about how meaningful those early interceptions were.
Yeah, huge. You know, obviously when you can do that on the road and take the crowd out of the game like that, you know, keep points off the board, create more possessions and more opportunities for your offense, you know, it's significant. The challenge was, you know, we still weren't doing great with time of possession. If you look at the first half, because you know we had some one play drives and things like that. But yeah, our defense I think is playing with a lot of confidence right now. And I think the thing that probably goes unnoticed is, you know, this talks about us not having a whole lot of shutouts. Well, some of the time we give up shutouts because we play so many guys. So what I thought was so impressive tonight is we played seconds and we played thirds and we played fourths, and they went in and executed the defense at a really high level. So I think that's really good progress. That was the one critique I said in the locker room after the game is our twos and threes on offense have got to play up to the standard. But yeah, I thought the turnovers were significant early in the game, got the crowd out of it, allowed us to swing the momentum and go from there.
So the answer, the longer James Franklin's answer went on this, the more it was like a halfback counterplay where he took a step in one direction, he went the other. But I just think it's funny, you know, the answer to this question. He's just going to say what he wants. Like he's pretty good in these situations. He is respectful and he answers questions in a thoughtful way a lot of the time. But he also, especially in these post games, has an agenda that he wants to hit. He has points he wants to make. And whatever your question is, he's still going to use that as a springboard into getting to those things.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's I just can't help but laugh whenever, you know, your biggest problem as a program is your twos and threes not playing up to snuff in garbage time. Like if that's your criticism of the game, I think you did pretty well for yourselves.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And Penn State certainly did well for itself. And he's right. Sometimes they put these backups in and they don't. You know, I was just confused about the offense part of that quote. I mean, Will Levis scored twice. You know, to be honest with you, the fourth quarter was time to write and not watch. But, you know, did they move the ball a lot?
No, I think he was speaking in a general sense about this. Like, I think he's looking at, like, Idaho, that game, or maybe late against Buffalo. I think those guys got in too, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think it was a very good performance from them in those games.
Right.
So I think he was speaking more from a general standpoint, because in this game, they actually did have some success. And I think he was talking about, in this game, the twos and threes actually did play well.
Right.
You know, they actually moved the ball. They actually, you know, were competitive on defense in this one.
Yep. So, I mean, you're talking about, I think probably his point of frustration came when Penn State had three straight punts, two straight drives with just three plays. They held the ball for 225, 206, and 51 seconds between the middle of the third quarter and the start of the fourth quarter. I think that's probably where he got frustrated, just not seeing those guys keep the ball and force and really force Maryland to, you know, continue to grind the clock away.
They're in a weird spot, though, because the whole playbook isn't really available to them. Right. I know it's reserves, and if they're going to move the ball, then so be it. I'm a believer in that. But I don't think you really put – even the reserves, you're taking shots down the field. You're not stretching out the Maryland defense. I think everybody knows the deal. Everybody knows what general approach these reserves are going to take. And so executing in that environment isn't always easy, but – I don't know. All this started with him talking about early interceptions. So let's just keep that in mind. I wanted to make sure we got to this on KJ Hamler. We've had this criticism or this question a lot. Okay, you can get this guy involved in so many ways. Like, it should be easy. Clearly, it's not that easy. But in this game, they set out to get KJ Hamler involved, and they did exactly that in all kinds of ways.
Well, we think that they can really run. I thought we did a better job in this game early on in getting KJ the ball. I think the more times KJ can touch the ball, we're going to like what happens. And that doesn't have to always be shots down the field. I didn't think we were as good this game with balls down the field. We haven't been for the last couple of weeks. We got to get that going. We had some opportunities. Chisina made the one huge play. But we had some others that we got to be able to finish. But I just think in general, we did a good job of getting KJ the ball early in the game. And we all know he's a difference maker. So I think that was probably the biggest difference with this game with the three previous.
So yeah, KJ Hamler involved, you know, he's in the punt return game. He's in the kick return game. But to be able to hand the ball off, get it to him short, get it out in space, just get it in his hands, because he's shown, even against elite defenses like Ohio State last year, for example, that it just takes one move and he can be gone. We saw that early, that the 58-yard touchdown, you know, he gets thrown the ball probably a yard short of the chains, right? Like, it's a third and nine, I believe. He's about a yard short. The most impressive thing about that play, you know, believe it or not, to me, was being able to stay upright after taking that. He took a shot to the hip.
Right.
And being able to keep his balance and stay upright. I think from there, if he's one-on-one and a guy is in a backpedal trying to stop him, that is just brutally unfair on the defender. And he showed it's kind of twisting him in knots. But KJ Hamler, get it to him short and just see what he can do. At some point in time, it's going to pay off big. Yep. And in this game, they followed through, and I think that's encouraging.
Yeah, hey, get him the ball, whether it's a short pass and let him run, whether it's a deep pass, whether it's a handoff, whether it's whatever. Whatever you can do to get the ball in that guy's hand to make sure it gets done.
That'll take you where you want to go and where Penn State went, 59-0. Beat Maryland, they're 4-0, 1-0 in the Big Ten. We'll see what happens as we look ahead to Purdue week later this week on the Keystone Kickoff Show. That's it for us for now. You can always check us out by downloading the Keystone Sports app and check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.